Good morning. Reading from 1 Samuel 5 through 11. 1 Samuel 5 through 11. Chapter 1, excuse me. 1 Samuel chapter 1, 5 through 11. There you go. But to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable, because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord, that she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better than you than 10 sons? So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of the soul. And prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head.
What an honor and a blessing it is to again be among brethren that love the Lord and are striving to do that which is correct in the sight of God. Before we get started, I do want to say from the onset that it is a blessing when men and women, boys and girls realize that they are separated from God. And for that, we're thankful for one who had obeyed the gospel this past week. And we never want to take those things for granted, because it is truly an honor to come out of the world into the Lord's church. What an honor. This morning we're going to be talking about godly mothers. We consider this particular day that many are honoring their mother. And we're fortunate to be around good mothers in this particular congregation. When we consider a godly mother is one that stands by the principles and the commandments of Almighty God. One who is characterized by the virtues of Christ. When you consider the definition of a mother, it's one who has either given birth or has a relationship with a child or children, one who is motherly, one who brings up a child with affection and care. There are many who have given birth. There are many who have had relationships with children and have brought up children with care and affection. And when we consider that, we consider the Bible and what the Bible has to say about that. Over 290 times we find the word mother translated from the Hebrew and Greek into the English language. We consider that, and I want us to take notice of a woman who the Bible esteems very high, that didn't begin as a mother, if you will, in the person of Hannah. Now, when we consider Hannah, her name literally means grace. I thought that was interesting because she definitely had a graceful attitude. She was a graceful woman. She was the wife, or a wife rather, of Elkanah. Or Kanai. Now the reason why I say that she was the wife or a wife of, because Elkanah had two wives. It's unfortunate, but at times that took place under the old covenant. Yet that was not God's original plan according to Genesis chapter 2, 24 to verse 25. I'm reminded of a man by the name of Lamech in Genesis chapter 4 and verse number 19 that took on two wives going away from the marriage that or covenants that God had given. Hannah lived during a time that was very harsh. The people of God were very disobedient. She lived during the time of the judges. The Bible demonstrates to us in Judges chapter 17, verse 6, and also Judges 21 and verse number 25, that because there was no king in Israel, the people did what they wanted to do. It's unfortunate that she lived during this particular time, but it was also fortunate because, as in the book of Ruth and with Hannah, you can be faithful even in the midst of the people that are unfaithful. I thought that was pretty interesting and beautiful that Hannah was a faithful one. Her husband, faithful one. We see that doing right is a good thing. And that the people of God who do right, even in the midst of a people who are not doing right, are blessed by God. You're probably asking, so why are you using Hannah as it relates to a Mother's Day message? Because Hannah has characteristics and attributes that are worthy of our consideration. And that she had the mindset of a mother, even though in the beginning she did not begin as one. When we consider Hannah, let's take notice of some things. Let's start at verse number 1 of 1 Samuel chapter 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramoth, Azaphim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tahu, the son of Zuf, and Ephatite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and daughters portions. But unto Hannah, he gave a worthy or a double portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. Number one, I want us to consider that Hannah was a very loved woman. As a matter of fact, we can demonstrate from the scriptures that she was most likely loved more than the other. She was most likely a very lovable woman. When we consider mothers, mothers ought to be lovable people. It kind of reminds me of Abigail in 1 Samuel 25. And you study Abigail in 1 Samuel 25, and there are some very beautiful characteristics about that woman. Yet it gives us no diagram or illustration or picture of what she looks like, but it gives those characteristics. This particular woman here received a double portion from her husband, demonstrating that he loved her. Every mother ought to be loved. In Ephesians 5 and verse number 25, husband, love your wives. We consider that, and we know that Peter tells the brethren there that they ought to, the husbands, dwell with their wives according to knowledge. We consider that and we look at Hannah, and she was a very loved woman. He gave her a double portion. Yet her womb was shut. In verses 5 through 7, we take notice of this. But Hannah, he gave a double portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary, we'll discuss that here in a few minutes, also provoked her sore. For to make her fret, to make her aggravated, to make her upset, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Take notice. not only was this woman loved, but number two, she demonstrated strength in the midst of trial and trouble. One thing we do know about mothers, mothers that have the characteristics of God, must demonstrate strength in the midst of trial and trouble, even in the midst of her own home at times. And friends, I'm not sure if she had any say-so on that other woman. But let me say this, that when two women are sharing one man, you're going to have a problem. And so here we see a problem. But the problem was her womb was shut by God. It's hard. It was hard during this particular time, especially for women, when their womb was shut, when they couldn't have children. The Bible demonstrates to us in Psalm 127 in verse number 3, "Lo, children are inheritance of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." It was something for a woman to have a child, to be able to give her husband a son or a daughter, to give him fruit, if you will. Well, we know for a fact that when we consider this, this particular woman could not have children at this particular time, and it was no fault of her own. Which brings me to a very sad, sad point. Since 1973, women have been aborting babies left and right. In 2014, the number was up to 59 million. As of last year, it's up to almost 61 million. Friends, there was a time when women could not have children, and they cried. And now women are getting pregnant, and they're killing them. Let that sink in. A mother is one that wants to cherish, wants to take care of, wants to help their children. And because of this situation that was out of control, out of her control, she received criticism from the other woman, the other wife. When we consider this, friends, the word adversary, I thought it was interesting in verse number 6. The adversary literally means a female rival, a vexer. Hannah's life was miserable because this other woman was provoking her. When we consider the mother in the home, the mother in the home should not be provoked. As a matter of fact, she ought to be honored and cherished, as 1 Peter 3 and verse 7 demonstrates. And I love that passage there because there Peter says that the man, the husband, ought to give honor, give deference. First place, no one is like her. The mother of your children, there is no one like her. Why? Because that's the one you chose. And because of that, you ought to honor her. And sometimes that's hard for men. Sometimes it's hard for men to be consistent in showing deference and giving honor and giving first place for all types of reasons. Yet, there are great benefits to doing that. A mother ought to know that in the midst of her rearing children and keeping the home and taking care of her husband, that her husband gives her deference. But there was great turmoil in the home. And it's interesting that this text draws out so many things, Brother Brian. Notice verse number 7 again. "And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, they were a worshiping people. So she provoked her." The idea in the Hebrew is that this is something that she did all the time. Also, when you consider that as they're going up to keep the feast and to worship God, Peninnah would provoke Hannah. And I thought that's rude. You're the one that have the children. You're the one that your womb has been blessed, if you will. Why are you provoking her? Could it be that she was loved? I'm so thankful that we don't have to deal with those things today. But in the world that we live in, some mothers can't even relax. because of things like that. But look at verse number 8. Her husband was in tune with her tender heart. We see that in verse 8 and verse number 9. And a mother ought to know that her husband is in tune with her tender heart. The very fact that she has given children to the man, to the husband, and that she's taking care of the home to the best of her ability, she ought to be paid attention to. Notice verse number 8 and 9. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? He knew her problem. She didn't have any children. But notice the emotional turmoil that she was going through. I think what we can learn from here is that Hannah was tender-hearted, yet she was faithful, even though she was going through great misery. Sometimes in the home, there's misery. It happens to all of us every now and then. But we ought to do our level best to limit the misery, to subside the misery. And even in the church, and to realize, again, going back to the 1 Peter 3 and verse number 7, that she is the weaker vessel. Sometimes men can be a little tough, a little harsh. But we live in a time now where women are being harsh and tough. You need to get back to being soft and tender-hearted. And we see this in this particular woman. Now, I thought it was interesting that he did take notice of her. And I thought it was interesting that he knew what her problem was. So we give him a lot of credit. Unfortunately, for some mothers, some wives, their husbands don't know what's going on in their lives. Hopefully that's not our case. But then look at verse number 9. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli, the priest, had sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. I want us to take notice that this woman was a praying woman. She was a vowing woman. So many mothers today sacrifice their time. They sacrifice their lives for their family. And here we find this woman approaching God in bitterness of spirit, anguish of soul. It ran down deep. There are many mothers today that feel this way about their children. I wonder how many mothers are praying for their children, even today. Praying for their children to be faithful. Praying for their children to marry the right person. Praying for their children to make sure that they're doing that which is right in the sight of God and man. One thing I love about Hannah, she wasn't a mother, yet she's already going to God in prayer. She wanted a son, if you will. Notice verse number 12 through verse 14. Sometimes mothers can be misunderstood. Now we're going to come back to verse number 11, but I want us to look at verse 12 through 14. And it came to pass that as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Eli was the priest. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved. Now she's praying, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. Why did he assume that? Sometimes mothers, sometimes women are misunderstood. If we're not careful as men, we'll misunderstand our wives. We'll misunderstand one another. And so he misunderstood her. It seems as if he assumed some things. Why are you drunken? But then notice, and Eli said unto her, how long will you be drunken? Put away your wine. And notice the gentleness of Hannah. And truth be told, we need more genteel women, genteel mothers. You have to teach your children how to be genteel. Doesn't mean you're being soft. But there is a time to be genteel. Notice her response to Eli. This wasn't her husband. This was the priest. But it demonstrates how respectful she is. And friends, the Bible is still right that a soft answer turns away wrath. But notice in verse 15. And Hannah answered and said, "No, my Lord. I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out." Now, that word poured out is so powerful. It's the idea of gushing herself out. Mothers do that all the time for their children, for their husbands, for their marriages. And we need more of that. And what a great day to honor mothers who are genteel. But notice what she says. She did not equate herself or reckon herself or liken herself to those who are outside of Israel. Verse 16. "Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial." A wicked woman, literally in the Hebrew. "Don't look at me like that. For out of the abundance of," notice the word complaint. Brother Royce, that's a powerful word. The idea there is my meditation. Hannah was a genteel woman, but she was a thinker. She's been thinking about this all of this time. I have no children. I have no one to pour my life into. I want to be a mother, but I can't. She's been meditating. And it's interesting that the King James renders complaint. I wonder if they would have rendered it meditation or thinking. I've been thinking about this. This is not something that I thought about last night. This has been on my mind and I'm gushing out my soul to the Lord. We need more mothers gushing out their soul to God. And notice in verse number 17. In verse number 17, we'll look at this passage and go back up to verse number 11. "Then Eli answered and said, 'Go in peace. And the God of Israel grant thee your petition that thou hast asked.'" Let's stop. This woman was a woman that wanted to be a mother. And she wanted to be a mother so bad that she poured out her soul. To the point, go to verse number 11 and let's plug it in right here. Right here. What did she do? "And she vowed a vow." Friends, don't fly over that. We need more mothers today vowing a vow. But what did she vow? "And said, 'Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on my trouble, my affliction of your handmaid, and remember me, and not forget your handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, a son.'" Now notice, "then I will do" what? "I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head." Now, this woman here, this Hannah, this woman of grace, made a vow to God that if you give me a son, I'll deny myself to the point that I don't even have to raise him. I'll give him to you. And that's exactly what she did when she became pregnant. She weaned that child, and immediately that vow that she made, she kept that vow, and she gave that son to the Lord. And every year she would come back and bring him a tunic, bring him clothing. She would see him once a year. She was willing to sacrifice having that intimate relationship on a daily basis in order to just have a son, have a child. She was a woman that understood sacrifice. In Luke chapter 9 and verse number 23, "If any man come after me, let him deny himself." She was the epitome of self-denial. A mother has to be one who denies themselves. If a woman, if you don't have a child now, and you're not willing to deny yourself now, don't have children. Because it takes a lot of work, a lot of praying, a lot of sacrificing, a lot of approaching God on behalf of your children. Here we find this woman who just wanted to be a mother. And now we have women who are having children who won't even spend time with their mother, time with their children. Spend time with your children. Talk to your children. Encourage your children. Love your children. And for this reason, children ought to understand the sacrifice that the mother is making. And that they really want what's best for them. And Hannah, she wanted what was best for Samuel. And so when Samuel was born and she went through the weaning process, can you imagine the vow that she made as she is weaning the son, talking to the son, loving on the son, and then taking the son to the Lord and making the sacrifice? She kept her word. And friends, make no mistake about it. A mother ought to give their word to the Lord that I'm going to bring this child into the world and I'm going to teach them your ways, Lord. I'm going to teach them how to be faithful and how to be loving and how to be honorable and how to be modest and how to be true and how, y'all get the point? And then keep the vow. So this woman, she did all that so she could be a mother. No wonder the Bible demonstrates to us in Matthew chapter 15 and Ephesians chapter 6, honor thy father and mother. No wonder Solomon would tell his son Rehoboam in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 through verse number 11, my son, hearken unto your mother. Listen to your mother. Why? Because that's the one that brought you forth. Look at verse 17 and 18. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. This woman, this Hannah, this woman of grace, she was specific in her prayer. God answered her prayer. She hung in there until that prayer was answered. And Eli, he tells her, God heard you, and God is going to give you what you desire. But she prayed that the Lord may be blessed. And if we're going to pray, we shouldn't pray for our own selfish ambitions and selfish things, but we ought to pray that God is glorified. And notice verse number 18. And friends, think about this. A true mother, when she goes to God in prayer, a spiritual mother, you ought to get off your knees knowing that God had heard your prayer. And notice verse 18. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way, Brother Brian, and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Friends, did you see that? She left there knowing that God was going to grant her her prayer. So remember earlier, she wouldn't eat. Remember earlier, her countenance was sad. Remember earlier that she wasn't of the right mindset. But now she is of the right mindset. And now she's eating. And so when we stop and we consider the godly mother knows that when she goes to God in prayer, and she prays according to the will of God, 1 John 5, verse number 14, that God will hear her prayer. Question. Are you a godly mother? I believe that I'm around godly mothers this morning. Samuel became a great man of God. Your children, they can become great men and women of God if you, as a mother, do your part. Oh, but we need fathers to do their part. But today we're talking about mothers and future mothers and grandmothers. Do your part in helping your children to be the best that they can be. And then you allow the Lord to do the rest. Hannah, a woman of grace, a woman of prayer, a woman who made a vow and kept her vow to the Lord. When you make a vow to the Lord, keep it. You bring a child into this world, do all that you can to do what Hannah did, and that's to give that child to the Lord. And so we need more of that. If you will, let us be standing. If you're not a child of God, we want you to consider being a child of God. Maybe you're a mother and you haven't obeyed the gospel. We want you to consider that. I want you to consider believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of your sins and confessing Jesus to be Lord. Being baptized in water for the remission of your sins. But maybe you are a child of God and you need special prayer because you are a mother. And it is tough. And it's hard sometimes. But there is such a blessing to being a mother. Because you get to see the fruit of your labor. Especially when they do or are doing the will of Almighty God. We're going to have a word of prayer and then we'll sing our song of invitation. Our God and our Father, we're so thankful for this day and thankful for the godly mothers that you have blessed us to be around. We pray to Father that you will continue to bless them and help them. But we hope and pray and trust that they're going to your word, that they're praying to you, that they're meditating upon you, and that they are taking care of their families, their husbands, their homes. Father, help us as husbands to help them do that, that we can do our part, that we can love them for who they are and show them deference. Forgive us when we fall short. Help us always strive for righteousness. In Jesus' name, amen.